Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yes, the Capitals are indeed the champions of the world. They finally, Tarek, earned their first ever Stanley Cup. They did it in just 5 games, and finally, we get to call the Washington Capitals the Stanley Cup champions. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Capitals Face-Off Podcast. I am, of course, your host, the very happy Capitals correspondent, JJ Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider.
This is for dramatic effect.
He is the Penfold to my Danger Mouse. He's Tarek El Bashir. Tarek?
How about I'm the Stanley Cup to your Kelly Cup? How about that? No offense, Jay Beagle, who has all the pro hockey championships.
That was actually a listener request because this thing's really catching on there, Tarek.
Somebody yelled at me. In the MGM Grand, tell JJ the intros suck.
Somebody else told you, me.
There was someone else who liked them.
It's catching on, Tarek. It's a thing. It's a thing now.
It's unfortunate.
Yes, the Capitals are the Stanley Cup champions.
Like I've been saying for how many months now?
In franchise history.
Told you.
It took them just 5 games to dispatch the Vegas Golden Knights in their pregame shows. Tarek, what was your initial reaction? Have you been able to process this yet, that the Capitals are actually Stanley Cup champions?
It hasn't fully processed. It did hit me a couple of times the night they won it. Not while it was going on, because when it was going on, you know, with like 4 minutes to go, I'm in the tent. Where they actually had the media in a tent in 100-degree heat. Yes, it was air conditioned, but it was still hot. Outside of T-Mobile Arena, and I'm pacing around. I'm like, oh my God, there's 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Now there's 3 minutes. Now there's 2 minutes. Now I'm like, oh crap, I better go work. I had to go to the area where they hold the media before they let you on the ice. So I was totally in work mode while it was all happening. And I was like, this is so cool. While everyone's hugging and congratulating, but I couldn't really enjoy it as a guy who grew up in DC watching the Capitals, started playing hockey as a kid because of the Capitals. Until later that night, and it did hit me, and it hit me when I was sitting in the lobby of the MGM Grand, which is where we were staying, and I was having a beer that a fan bought me, and I was sitting there with Rob Carlin and a couple other NBC Sports Washington employees, and I heard some commotion, and then I heard Ovi, and I was like, uh-oh, guys, get ready, here comes the cup, and Ovi comes walking right past our table with the cup in his hand and about 100 fans in tow. People, they must have just followed them from their team. The whole casino now is like following him with their phones up, taking. And that's where it kind of hit me. I was like, this really happened. Because, you know, when you're working, you don't have a chance to really digest it. But that was, you know, I had a beer in hand and I'm watching Ovi go by with the cup and I'm like, wow, they are the champions.
Yeah. I had almost a similar experience to you. I was in studio. I was cheering throughout the game, and I was pacing up and down the aisle in those last few minutes. And when it did it, I cheered, but then immediately I realized, oh, crap, I got a lot to do now. Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know. So I went into work mode, and it didn't really hit me. It hit me a couple times the next day seeing some of the replays of this stuff, but I don't think it hit me until today when we were at Nationals Park covering it. And there was just literally a minute between when the players left the interview room that they left the Stanley Cup there And some of the media jumped up and they're like, oh, quick, take my picture. And I said, oh, crap, I got to go take a picture. So I you know, I got down, put my hand on the cup, and I took my took the picture, and I looked at the picture. And I think that's when it hit me. My gosh, that's the Stanley Cup, and not the replica cup,
right?
Because there are three Stanley Cups. I don't know if people know this. One's in the Hall of Fame. One of them does all the media tours, and then there is the real Stanley Cup. That was the real Stanley Cup. So that's when I think it finally hit me.
I finally got my picture with it as well. It happened at 4 a.m. in the Hakkasan nightclub with DJ Tiesto playing about 10 feet from where I was standing. And I walked my way. I just walked right through the security right to where the Capitals were.
Mm-hmm.
Sat down, handed my phone to Rob Carl, and I said, take a picture. And he took a picture of me. And I'll never share this picture, but it's awesome. And it's me in a nightclub with the strobe lights going and the Stanley Cup behind me, and Matt Niskanen about 3 feet away scowling at the whole situation. How did Tarik get into this, into our VIP area? And why is he taking a picture with the cup? I can see like the word, like the word bubble above his head.
Right.
But he was enjoying himself too much to do anything about it. So he just continued sitting there talking to Brooks Orpik.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't share your picture, because mine has been on just about every social media platform that exists.
Mine will never go public, but it'll be a picture that I will always, always keep.
The whole thing, the entire run just felt surreal. You know, all the in-game pressure, how I felt in-game, that all was real, but the moments leading up to it, the moments in between, the moments after, it just feels unbelievable that this has actually happened. I don't know if I processed it a little bit today when I saw the cup. As I said, I don't know if I'm really going to be able to process until the parade, but we'll see. Tarik, the Capitals had to actually win the cup to do this. They had to actually win game five. Game five was a clinching game. One thing I realized today is that the Capitals, in the first chance to clinch a series, they won all four of those games this year.
Killer instinct.
A team that everyone said,
They've never had it before.
Everybody expected this to go six games, except for me, if you recall from the last podcast. But everybody expected this to go six games. Nobody expected Vegas to go out in five on their home ice. Tarik, how were they able to close out in game five, a game that they were trailing in the third period?
Well, we've talked so much about how this team's mental toughness has changed, how they found it, how they have discovered the fortitude and the ability to overcome setbacks and overcome mistakes and overcome bad periods. And that's a big part of being a championship team, is being able to put a bad shift or a bad period or a bad game behind you and get right back at it and get back to your game and give 100% and be successful. And they've been able to do that throughout this postseason run. And I also think that for all we talked about with Justin Williams and some of the other players who were in the bottom six in recent years, about how they were brought here to deliver and to score those hard playoff goals, they finally got some dudes who can do it. They don't just have reputations. They actually do it. Devontae Smith-Pelly, Lars Eller, Brett Connolly. I mean, they just had dudes who just produced. Jay Beagle had a couple of assists, primary assists early on in the series. When the Caps got bounced in the second round by the Penguins last year, they got Bupkis. Nothing from the bottom six.
In that series, they got zero bottom six scoring. Zero. Literally zero. Yeah. Ovechkin had one on the third line, but nobody counts him, nobody should.
Right. And they won the Stanley Cup this year because the bottom six didn't just chip in, and I would stop short of saying carried them, but they did more than you would normally expect from the bottom six group. I mean, Brooks Orpik, you know, I mean, obviously he's a defenseman, but you know, here's a third pairing D-man who hadn't scored 220 games, scored a huge goal in
this game winner.
A game winner. So when you're getting contributions from throughout your lineup, I mean, you got Ovechkin was scoring, TJ Oshie was getting big goals. Nicholas Backstrom was clearly playing hurt, but he was still helping.
Yeah.
He was still better than, you know.
That phenomenal pass to Ovechkin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was still better than the other four centers on Vegas. So it was a thorough team effort. Braden Holtby, you know, had a great series. And we said at the outset, he had to outduel Marc-Andre Fleury. And he did.
And he did.
He did.
Yeah.
So I would say, the secondary scoring, Braden Holtby, and the mental toughness to overcome some setbacks. That's why they had the cup.
Devonte Smith-Pelly's third period goal was phenomenal. That was such a great play. The diving goal.
He should get a monument. Like, I don't know. I mean, somewhere in D.C., they need to make a DSP monument. Honestly, JJ, so I'm standing on the ice. I'm standing on the ice after the game, and people are yelling at Ovi, they're yelling at Backstrom, but you know the one chant that broke out?
DSP.
DSP. And that went on for like 3 minutes while he was hugging his mom and his dad and his brother, and it was such a cool moment. He's kind of tearing up, his dad's tearing up, his mom's bawling, his younger brother's just kind of like, holy crap, this is cool. He's just kind of like looking around, and there's a still, you know, the game's been over for 20 minutes at that point, maybe even 25 minutes, and there's a throng of Caps fans who are still in the building. They haven't been cleared out yet. DSP. I mean, that was epic. And you know the big guys are going to chip in. You got to get that other group, that secondary group, those secondary sources of goals, and that's what they got.
Many years ago, I remember watching the Anaheim Ducks in the playoffs, and I remember DSP in that series.
5 goals in like 14, 12 games, 13 games, something like that. Yeah,
it was 5 goals, and I remember sitting there saying, that's the kind of guy the Capitals need.
Yeah.
And he's had some lean years. It's not like he's been able to produce like that throughout his career, but
Sign the man.
He found it again this postseason. He was phenomenal, and that goal was the turning point of that third period, and the rest is history.
I'll be honest. I remember when they Cap signed him back in the summer. McClellan and Trotz talked about him. It's kind of a reclamation project. They were like, he needs some conditioning. He needs a little bit of coaching, but you know he's got some skill. And then he goes through the regular season. And he was, you know, he missed a few games. Has a healthy scratch. Had 7 goals. I thought he played pretty good.
He was okay.
I thought he played pretty good. But I was thinking to myself, this is the guy they brought in for to score the big goals in the playoffs, or one of the guys they're going to count on.
Right.
I was like, what are they talking about? And then he scored a couple in that first series. I was like, oh yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Skates in straight lines, hits like a Mack truck. You know, just dogs the puck. I mean, if he had better hands, oh my God, he'd probably be a 20-25 goal scorer. But man, did he deliver. And Lars Eller, I mean, another guy who just had a huge, huge turn. First Danish player to win a Stanley Cup, which is pretty awesome. Even Brett Connolly got in on the act. I shouldn't say even. I mean, but it was cool to see him chip in.
Yeah.
When you're getting the breaks and you're getting those ancillary pieces to chip in at the right times, you're going to win a championship.
When the cup was finally presented to Alex Ovechkin, unless you were a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, I defy anyone to watch him hoist that cup and take that cup and see his reaction and not smile.
If you're a Penguins fan, sorry to cut you off, but if you're a Penguins fan, you should be happy. You know why? Because now the rivalry just it got real.
Yeah.
They both have championships now. Yes, Sidney's got 3 and he's played for 4. But Alex has one now.
Yeah.
And now when they play each other next year and they're going to be in the second round again next year.
Right.
It's going to be the last two teams to win a Stanley Cup are now facing each other in the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Getting back to my point, in hockey, where there's that old school mentality where you're not allowed to show emotion on the ice, and for years that's dogged Ovechkin and people have criticized him about wearing his emotion on his sleeve, you can't watch what happened in this throughout the playoffs. His reactions on the bench, how great it was. You can't see how much this meant to him when he took that cup and not smile and not think this is good for hockey. I mean, so many people who were indifferent towards Ovechkin, I've heard coming out, a lot of media people come out and saying that they loved seeing his reaction. I did a few radio hits the day after that they won, you know, some in Canada, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, and they all, even Tampa Bay, a team that got ousted by the Caps, they all loved his reaction. They loved how much it meant to him. I just think I've loved seeing it. I love that it meant as much to him as it meant to so many of the fans. And I love that poured out of him, that you could see it. And I hope that this forever puts away the Don Cherry old school mentality where you're not allowed to celebrate, you're not allowed to show any emotion, because that is to the detriment of hockey. Hockey is better for having players and personalities like Alex Ovechkin, and we saw that when he took the cup. When he was, if you watch, he's basically shaking while Gary Bettman, and Gary Bettman's trying to hold on to that cup for dear life for that initial photo op before Ovechkin takes it away. I mean, Ovechkin couldn't get that puck, that cup away fast enough. And then, of course, after that, handing it off to Backstrom. And then I loved it. The two of them held the cup together in such a great moment for the franchise. I loved everything about that trophy presentation.
You know what the bad news?
What?
The old school mentality is not going to change.
Oh, I know.
It's Canadians are modest people. It comes from their roots in English, and you know, people from England. They're modest people, stiff upper lip, don't show a lot of emotion. You don't talk about yourself. You give all glory to the group around you. It's not going to change, not anytime soon. But I think there might be an exception for Ovechkin after these playoffs. He's the only one who can go crazy after every single goal and do it. But it's not going to change. It's not.
But I'm,
and that's too bad. But it's not.
I'm fine with giving credit and being soft spoken to the media, but to hide that emotion on the ice, I think that's just craziness. So now the Capitals have the Stanley Cup. We're going to take a deeper dive into their postseason run right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Target, it has been a long, long 2 months. There were 24 games of hockey played by the Capitals. There were four rounds.
I haven't been off since April 10th.
Yes. There's been no sleep. There's been no days off. It's just been an endless grind. When you look back at this cup run, this entire cup run, what are some of the moments that stood out to you?
Wow. A lot, man. Okay, so let me say number one, I'm going to go with Lars Eller, double overtime goal, game three, Columbus. That saved the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think DSP was in on that one, too, if I remember correctly. Let's go to...
And getting back to that one, as we said, we were at Nationals Park today. The players were asked... You know, what have they been thinking
that's
about
right.
since
yeah,
then? And Nicholas Backstrom came out and he said
he
realized how important that goal was after that they won won the cup. Because if they don't win that game, they're down 3-0 and then they're done. They're not coming back from that.
Nope. Let me fast forward to game five against the Penguins. Kuznetsov scored about a minute into the third period. Tie it up and kind of get things going in the Capitals' direction.
That was Jacob Vrana's big game.
He moved
up to the second line.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to game six, Kuznetsov scoring the game winner. Tom Wilson going boo and making Olli Maatta turn over the puck.
Yeah.
And Ovi making a nice pass up the seam to get it to Kuzi for the breakaway. In the Vegas series, everything. I mean, the save. I mean, that was nuts. Oh, I forgot one in the Pittsburgh series. The batted puck goal by Ovi.
Yes.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was awesome.
Game three.
Vegas for me, I mean, it was the intro. Like I sat next to the castle with the guys with the drums. The whole intro was awesome. The save, I just mentioned the save. I mean, that probably was the biggest play, I thought, of the entire postseason. And I felt in a lot of ways game five was pretty symbolic or kind of encapsulated this year, the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Capitals, you know, started off well, you know, got out of the first period 0-0, got a lead, went down, and then in the third period had to gut it out. It was gut check time, and they delivered. I'm sure there are a lot of people after they surrendered, gave back the lead again, and Vegas went up 3-2. They're like, oh, here we go. Vegas is gonna make this into a series. I wasn't scared. I was this guy. I was like, you know what? Nope.
Yeah.
All right. When it started getting later in the third period, I was like, wait a minute. And then Devontae scored, and then Eller scored. But I think that kind of was emblematic of the ups and downs of this season for the Capitals. And those are my highlights right there.
I was worried a little bit in that game five, not because I thought they would lose the series, but the prospect of another game six, because there was such a crescendo leading up to that game five where it felt like this was it. It felt like this was it in the city. It felt like this was it to the media. It felt like this was it in terms of our planning for that game, what we were going to do for that.
I will tell you this. I had one story written, and it was about the Capitals winning the cup.
Yep.
They had lost. I had no Caps lose game five, game six is Sunday story ready to go.
Yeah, game five was interesting because we had two totally different plans depending on what happened. And
yeah,
so,
there was a plan and a not so much plan.
You know, the Caps took the lead, and so I start working on one thing, and then Vegas comes back, and I start working on another thing. So I'm working on two different things at the same time through that game. You mentioned Lars Eller's overtime goal. To me, what stood out, Lars Eller scored the first game winner of the playoffs, and he scored the last game winner of the playoffs for the Capitals. He had the game winner in the Stanley Cup final. The goal that is now the biggest goal in the history of the franchise because it won a Stanley Cup. So his name is forever etched in Capitals history now. Coming back from the 2-0 deficit against John Tortorella, that seems like such a lifetime ago, but the way they were able to rattle off four straight wins going into the Pittsburgh game, it's incredible to think about how everything felt after that game one, where the Capitals dominated for 55 minutes and lost 3-2 because of those 5 minutes where they scored three goals. That was just incredible.
I literally don't even remember that. I feel like that was 2 years ago at this point. I feel like Thursday night in Vegas was like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything just seems so everything has changed. Yep. Everything seems so long ago.
Then there was the 2-0 lead against Tampa Bay, jumping out to 2-0. When everyone was saying, look at those, look at these two rosters. Washington can't compete with that. And people in Washington, a lot of the media, this wasn't just me, but a lot of people in the media were saying, don't count out the Capitals. They just got over that hump. They just beat their arch rival. There's going to be a lot of momentum in this team. You may not want to count them out. And what do? They go and win two straight games in Tampa Bay. Without those games, they don't win that series because Tampa Bay, once they woke up, they rattled off three straight wins. Game six stood out to me that may have been their best game of the entire postseason when they were facing elimination, and they came out and they hit everything that moved. Alex Ovechkin was the best player on the ice despite not even registering a point. He was phenomenal in that game. Braden Holtby's double shutouts. There are so many great moments that led to this, Tarek. Ultimately, it ended with Alex Ovechkin hoisting the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP. Did you think he deserved it, or are you in the camp? I know you had a vote. Were you in the camp that Evgeny Kuznetsov's numbers were too much to overcome?
No. My ballot, which I had to submit with 10 minutes to go in the third period of Game 5, this is when it was 3-3. It was 3-3, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm submitting a Conn Smythe, and things could change. And I did anyway, and I had Ovechkin 1, Kuznetsov 2, Holtby 3.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't a career award in my mind. I do feel like Alex has been the tone setter for this entire playoff. The emotion that he showed, the physicality, the 15 goals, everything about the way he handled himself and prepared and played and said in the media, and you put it all together, and he was the most important player on the ice for either team. Kuznetsov was great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, was it 31 points? 32?
I believe he finished with 32. Yeah, I think it was 31 and he had an assist in game five.
Great. Epic performance. Alex was the man, though.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. You turned it in with 10 minutes left in the tie game.
Mm-hmm.
What if you turned it in and then Kuznetsov scored the game winner? What if that was Kuznetsov and not Lars Eller?
Okay, then I could change it.
Would you have?
No.
Because that would have been,
I would not have been
33 points plus the Stanley Cup winning goal.
It didn't happen, so I didn't really think about this until you brought it up to me, but I don't think I would have made an adjustment. Mm-hmm. I think I still would have gone with Ovi. Now, had it been an overtime, like had it been a double overtime, beautiful, like, you know, he bounces the puck off the wall around a D-man, and, you know, okay. Maybe we got something to talk about here, but no. I still would have gone that way. Holtby, in my opinion, would have needed to pitch a shutout and just really stood on his head and maybe had another the save for him to leapfrog either one of the Russians. And it was funny, I actually saw the ballots of the other voters. Almost everybody did Ovi, Kuzi, Holtby.
Yeah.
Almost everybody.
That's no surprise. I'm with you. I think Ovechkin definitely deserved it. I tweeted out at the time when the Capitals took a 2-1 lead. You know, Vegas ties the game. Ovechkin draws a penalty on the ensuing faceoff. And then on that power play, he scores to put the Capitals up. I believe it was something like 30, 40 seconds after Vegas had scored, and he put the Capitals back up. And I tweeted, I said, if the Capitals win tonight, Ovechkin just sealed the Conn Smythe. He probably would have won anyway, but he sealed it. And you're absolutely right. The team lived and died with him. I mentioned this earlier. In the game six against Tampa Bay, he didn't register a single point. He was the best player on the ice, easily. The best player on the ice. So he was definitely the MVP in my eyes. I had no problem with him winning, despite how great Kuznetsov's numbers were, how great he was throughout the playoffs, and how impactful he was, you know, with plays like the overtime winner in Game 6 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But Ovechkin was ultimately the guy who, the straw stirred the drink, he was the guy who led the team, and he was definitely deserving of the Conn Smythe. We're going to take a little look ahead, but first we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, now fans have to look forward to a Stanley Cup Championship parade on Tuesday. But beyond that, it is now officially the offseason. The offseason is here. And we're not going to get too far into these things, but Tarek, what are some of the big questions surrounding this team heading into the offseason? Just, again, not a deep dive, because we're all reveling in this championship glow right now, but what are some of the things that this team needs to think about right now, even before the parade? What are they thinking about? What is in Brian McClellan's head right now?
Well, he's probably thinking about his lake house and how it's time for some R&R. But there obviously is some work to take care of. There are players that need to be signed. There's some unrestricted free agents. There's some restricted free agents. There's the matter of his head coach not having a contract.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that's getting sorted out. If you kind of read between the lines and listen to what Barry Trotz has said over the past 48 hours, it does sound like he is open to coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He has not said anything definitive. I've checked with a source who said that they're going to give him some time to kind of make up his mind, and you know, they're going to come together and talk in the next few days, maybe a week. My feeling, my gut feeling, is that if he wants to get a deal done, a deal gets done. If he decides to walk away, the Cap should have signed him last summer.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's how I feel. I think in the end, it does get done.
Yeah.
But, you know, he probably earned himself quite a raise.
Yeah. I'm of the opinion, now this is just my opinion, I'm of the opinion that based on how the season played out, the Capitals will absolutely do everything they can to keep him. He could list a number, write down a number on a piece of paper, slide it across, and McClellan, there's not much he can do. He just has to make that deal. I think it's ultimately in Barry Trotz's court right now. It's whether or not he is the free agent. He is in the situation where basically we see it from players. The player bets on himself and then has a great season. Barry Trotz had as good a season as a coach can have. He won a Stanley Cup. Now he gets to dictate the terms of his next deal. I think it certainly helps the Caps that the only open coaching job in the NHL right now is the New York Islanders. I think it's hard to go from the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals to the dumpster fire that is the New York Islanders. So that definitely
helps the Capitals. That said, there are three or four teams that would fire their current head coach in a second if they thought they could get Barry Trotz.
You keep saying that. I'm not so sure. Now, I don't see that happening in the summer, but I do think we may see some of those Peter Laviolette situations where three games into the season, you lost two of those three games? All right, you're out of here. Somebody get me Barry Trotz on the phone. I could see that happening for sure.
That would probably be worked out ahead of time, by the way.
Yes, I don't think those happen by accident. Second priority, I would have to believe, would be John Carlson.
Yeah, he certainly earned his money.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get paid. And I think the Capitals, with the help of a rising salary cap, will be able to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, the question when you look at whether to sign your own player or go on the market and try to find a replacement is there someone out there who you can get for significantly less than what John Carlson's going to command, who can play 23 minutes a night and put the puck where Ovi wants it and fit into the room and do all those? You better be damn sure, because if you get rid of your number one defenseman in terms of minutes,
mm-hmm,
and you go get some dude who's not as good and doesn't work, you've just subtracted a very important piece of your Stanley Cup champion team because you couldn't figure out a way to shoehorn his new deal under the salary cap, or you didn't think he was worth it. I think he proved this year that he's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like Oshie, you give him an 8-year deal and you hope that he lives up to it. I don't see any way around it. I know McClellan has said time and again that he plans on he expects him to get a deal done with John. I think it's going to be expensive, but I think you got to keep your homegrown talent.
It's going to be expensive. I'm always sort of wary of players who have their best seasons in contract years.
But he's had other seasons
good seasons. Yeah,
14-15 was pretty good. 15-16 was pretty good. I mean, this might have been his best, but he's had some pretty good ones. So
he's had good seasons.
Prime of his career, 28 years old.
If the Capitals go out in the second round, there's no way I make this deal because I think they've committed too much money to a core that ultimately has not been able to get the job done. That narrative has changed. Now you have to look at this team in a new light. This core has gotten the job done. They have won a Stanley Cup. And if they can, they should try to keep a lot of it together with the knowledge that they have a lot of, while the cupboard is bare in terms of forward talent down on the farm, there's a lot of up-and-coming defensemen that are coming, but they don't have a John Carlson replacement on the farm. They have guys like Bowie and Jews who are going to be up and coming. They have Jonas Siegenthaler. They have Lucas Johansson, who could one day fit that mold of a John Carlson, but not soon enough that you would risk getting rid of him. I think they do whatever they can to get that job done, and it's going to cost them a pretty penny. But you know what? You just won the Stanley Cup, so if you keep that core together, that's okay.
The Stanley Cup changes everything.
Changes everything. One other thing, and we're going to get much deeper into this, I think, as the offseason goes on, is the future of Philip Grubauer. Boy, has that future changed in the last few months, but I think we've seen the last of Philip Grubauer in a Capitals uniform. What say you?
I agree. I think what he proved this season while he was kind of filling in for Braden Holtby, who was going through that reset, is he can be a number one.
Mm-hmm.
His stock price, although it might have taken a little bit of a ding there after getting the job and then getting it taken away from him after two games, both overtime losses, but yep. You know, 8 goals on 49 shots, not great.
Yep.
I still think that he's a tradable commodity.
Yes. For those who don't know, his contract expires at the end of this year, but he is still a restricted free agent, so the Capitals own his rights.
Right. So I think you move him. I think he's ready to be moved.
Yes.
I think he loves his teammates. I think he loves being here, but he also wants to be a number one. He's 25, going on 26. I mean, he wants to be a number one, and yep. This is the time. He's ready. He's ready. It ain't going to happen here.
No.
Not with Braden Holtby and Ilya Samsonov coming over. You know, this year, I think that Phoenix Copley gets the backup job to start the year. I think
we're going to go. You think they're going to go with Copley?
I think so.
Also needs a new deal, if I recall.
I don't recall the minor league deals right now, and because my laptop won't connect to the wireless, I don't have cap-friendly in front of me. But I think Copley gets the job, and I think they let Samsonov get used to playing on the NHL ice.
Yes.
Down in Hershey.
He certainly is not going to start the season as the backup to Braden Holtby. There's no way.
I wouldn't say certainly, but I would say they want to see what he can do down there first, let him get a taste, get used to the smaller corners and the shorter ice.
Okay, so Phoenix Copley has one more year on his deal, yeah, so I think that's a good fit there. Yeah.
And then you make the swap midway.
Yep.
If Samsonov proves that he's ready to do it,
right?
Maybe he gets a full year down there. Maybe he wins the job outright in training camp. I mean,
yeah,
I can tell you, I'm not sure if you're Braden how you would feel about a first round draft pick, you know, coming over from Russia. And now he's
immediately
he's staring holes into the back of your head every time he skates by. But hey,
right.
You know, as Braden showed this year, he's a great teammate, man. I think, you know, he embraced the competition. He understood what was going on and
sure. Dealt
with it pretty well. Dealt with it as well as humanly possible. But I think that's how it goes. You know, the good news for the Capitals is they're kind of set. I mean, Holtby rediscovered his game. Grubauer can get you a return of something pretty nice, I'd imagine. Probably not a first round draft pick, but maybe.
Well, we thought that last year too, and he ended up there was just no market for Gold Derby.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, we'll see, but I think for everybody, it's ready for him. You know, it's time for him to move on.
Yep,
and it's time for Samsonov to show what he can do.
Guys, a quick note: the mailbox is starting to fill up with a lot of messages. We're going to stick with the Stanley Cup for right now. We're going to get through the parade, and then we're going to start opening back up. We're going to go back to the two podcasts a week format that we had with one podcast and then one mailbag pod. But we're going to get through this championship first, and then we'll get there. But keep sending in those questions, and we will answer them. If you want to have your question right in answered on the next podcast, when we get to those questions, you can send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show, and I'm sure everybody's in a good mood right now because the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, so use that positive energy to motivate you to giving us a good review on the podcast. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We will have a new podcast. Some have speculated during the parade. I don't know if we'll be able to do that, but we'll definitely have one afterwards. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is J.J. Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.